Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. My guest in the studio, as has been all this week, is cantor Bernie Rubenstein. And we found out, Bernie, that you came from a very Orthodox background. You trained, your parents at one point thought you would be a rabbi. You became a cantor. Judaism meant a lot to you, but then you drifted from Judaism. You got messed up in the college nonsense that a lot of youth are messed up today. You got married. You all of a sudden had physical symptoms. It was diagnosed as MS. And you found out about an old friend from high school, Sid Roth, that showed you the scriptures about the fact that our Messiah has come. His name is Yeshua, known as Jesus. Yeshua is Hebrew for salvation. And you remembered a lot of things, a lot of seeds that have been planted throughout your life. And you came to Beth Messiah Congregation service, and it wasn't Jewish enough for you, but there was something about the people. There was a genuine peace, a genuine joy, and you had seen this nowhere else. And this pulled you. And you didn't realize it at the time, but it was the Messiah drawing you through the love of those that were members of the congregation. You started searching the scriptures. You even had enough chutzpah to bring your wife Vivian to Beth Messiah.
Finally. But all this time, before I actually brought Viv to Beth Messiah, I was sharing with her at home. I was opening the scriptures for the first time and looking at the Word of God in a way that I had never looked at it before, looking at it in a way so that I would be able to prove to myself the truth and the validity of the Messiahship of Yeshua. And the more I read, the more I began to see how the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant, is indeed a fulfillment of the Old Covenant. One of the scripture verses that was particularly challenging to me and also very enhancing to me was the 31st verse of the 31st chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 8, we see the fulfillment of this, the prophecy which reads, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. And I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every one his fellow citizen, and every one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more."
Hey, that was important to you, Bernie, to have your sins remembered no more,
right?
Because you would realize.
It spoke to my heart. It spoke to my heart, not only in terms of substantiating the means by which God would grant forgiveness of sins, but more importantly than that, understanding the covenantal arrangement which God has made with us, not only as believers, but more specifically in terms of my roots, in terms of my background, the covenantal arrangement that God has made as a perpetual agreement, a perpetual spiritual fabric for the people of Israel.
What other scriptures and prophecies had meaning?
Well, of course, the one that has touched all of our hearts more than any has been the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which I shared with you the other day. But then looking at it more in terms of the prophetic fulfillment, the 9th chapter of the prophet Daniel, which talks about the specific time when the Messiah would come. At this time, Sid, when I first accepted the Lord, and when I first entertained the idea of accepting the Lord, for each and every one of the prophecies that I was challenged with, I took back to my rabbi. The one that he absolutely could not handle was the 9th chapter of Daniel concerning the specific time of the coming of the Messiah, how this event would be commensurate with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. More than an oddity, more than a coincidence, I could not eradicate it from my mind. How is it that the temple in Jerusalem was virtually commensurate with the time of the death and resurrection of the Lord Yeshua? I would ask my rabbi this question. What is it exactly
It says in Daniel 9 that the anointed, that's another name for the Messiah.
The Hebrew word that's used for anointed is Mashiach, but in terms of contemporary rabbinical interpretation, they would never read it as being Mashiach, meaning Messiah, but meaning simply an anointed one who could refer to anyone. But if you read the verse within the context, rather than taking it out of context, it's very, very clear to state that this would be the anointed one rather than an anointed one. Who was the anointed of the anointed?
And it says the anointed one would be cut off, that means would die, and then the second temple would be destroyed.
Right.
We know it was destroyed in 70 AD, so then the anointed one had to come before 70 AD.
Right. Exactly.
What did your rabbi have to say to that?
Well, first of all, my rabbi, for the sake of convenience, would dismiss any scriptural portion that he could not explain. Or else he would say it was written in such an abstract way so that the writer deliberately wanted to confuse the reader. But God doesn't work that way, and I explained that to him. I said, this has spoken to me differently than what you're trying to convey to me. What I read when I read the 9th chapter of the prophet Daniel is that the anointed one would come prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It was necessary in order for God's new order to be established. As the rabbi tried to point out to me areas of confusion, this did nothing more than instill within me a desire to know more and more and more truth. But this truth was not revealed to me academically. This truth was not revealed to me eruditiously. This truth was revealed to my spirit by the Spirit of God, and that's how I knew that it was truth. Because I would pray to the Lord whenever I would read Scripture, Lord, reveal to me the truth that you are trying to convey to me in this passage. Finally, I reached the point where it was impossible for me to continue without declaring myself as a believer in the Lord Yeshua. I spoke with Vivian about this for a few days, for a few days beforehand, and Vivian kept calling to my attention, what about the grave consequences that we're going to have to face as a result of this? And I told her again, I said, I am not concerned about any consequences. I am concerned about doing what God wants me to do.
If you don't have God, who do you have?
And I began to share with Vivian that she had to open her heart. She could not think in terms of social consequences. She could not think in terms of a potential family reprimand. That she had to begin to open her heart and open her mind and be willing to receive the truth as it was revealed to us. So we began to read the scripture together, and we began to pray together. And I noticed that over a short period of time, Vivian's heart was beginning to soften, until finally she said to me, I would like to go with you next time you go to Beth Messiah. And when she came to Beth Messiah with me, she still had her machinations. She still had her little quirk about the whole situation. But she was able to see what I wanted her to see. She was able to see God's love in action. Within that same week, both Vivian and I accepted the Lord. And it has changed our lives dramatically. It has given us a meaning in life that we never had before. It has changed our values in life so that happiness does not come from those things which are of a materialistic identity, but rather of a spiritual identity.
Bernie, you've answered this, but yet I feel I want to ask you this question again. There is an Orthodox Jewish person listening right now. They have heard the claims of Yeshua. In their heart of hearts, they fear that it's true. What would you tell them to do?
I would say that the fear is a good thing. And the reason that the fear is a good thing is because through the fear, God's love can be realized. I was going through a period in my life when I knew fear like I had never known it before, because of the physical malady that I was confronted with, because of uncertainty as to what the future held for me, until finally I made up my mind. I drew the conclusion that the love of God was going to be more meaningful in my life than the fear that man imposed upon me. Once I stood on this firm fact that God's love was going to be what would nurture me for the rest of my life, fear simply vanished. And I would say to any Orthodox Jew, or for that matter, any Jew who's listening to what we're saying right now, if you fear accepting Yeshua because of repercussions by your family and your friends, because of consequences that you won't be able to handle, think in terms of the higher value. What is really more important to you, the love of God or the love of a friend? Or perhaps that if you were to really look to God, He would provide you with the friends that would be more meaningful to you than you've ever had before. This is exactly what happened in my life and in Vivian's life. As a result of coming to an understanding of God's salvation through Yeshua HaMashiach, we have developed friendships which are far more meaningful than anything we've ever known before. Not friendships that are based on give and take, but friendships that are based on give because of love, because of God's love working in our lives.
Cantor Bernie Rubenstein, thank you for sharing. You that are ready to receive the Messiah right now, repeat after me. Dear Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, come inside of me. Take over my life. Forgive me for all of my sins. Restore my relationship to God. I make you my Lord.
Yes.
And you that are not quite ready to receive the Messiah, ask the Messiah Yeshua. Say, Messiah Yeshua, please show me the truth as to who you are.
Until Monday, this is Sid Roth reminding you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Pray for the peace.